Welcome to the week one of high school football recap edition of Sportsline Radio, WNIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. I'm your co-host, Eddie Fury, with Stanley Broadcasting. And with me on the phone, on his way to probably a softball tournament possibly, is Jonathan Bisher of Thumbtoe-Getter Sports.
That is probably true.
Wow. So how long does your softball season go, Jonathan?
Well, this one just started. This one will go to the end of September.
Oh, okay. So you'll probably be doing this through the first month at least, or unless you don't have a game, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, our coverage was pretty expanse, and boy, did we have some blowouts, and boy, did we have some upsets. We'll talk to Mike Gallagher of the Stanley County News. We'll talk about the BWAC with him, but we're going to start right off here of our coverage of the Greater Thumb Conference, which we were primarily covering. Some eight-player football games also. We'll be talking to Paul Adams coming up about the Ubbly Bad Axe game. He'll be coming up for that segment. But your coverage of games, you covered a total of games with Lakers, Sandusky, and you also had Cass City Reese that you filled in out of the blue because one of our Thumbtoe-Getters couldn't make it.
Yeah, something came up, so I jumped on board at about 3:30 and made it there a little later than I wanted to. But, hey, we were up and going for the game, and we got her in.
Sportsline Radio, by the way, is brought to you by Liberty Lanes, also Graf Chevrolet Buick Auto Dealership, Krauser Lexington Laundry. If you're in the area there, Jonathan, like you were in Carson, well, you could have got your laundry done at Krauser Lex Laundry. Also brought to you by Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, Moore Motors, Thumb Cellular, and the AVS Tech Team. Our scores in the Greater Thumb Conference had the Lakers over Sandusky, 47-6. Marlette over Carroll, 44-6. We also had in Friday scores, it was Cass City over Reese, shutting them out, 50-0. Ubbly over Bad Axe, 41-7. Harbor Beach defeats Unionville Seabling, 34-0. And Burton Bentley over Memphis, 42-7. Our games, and I mean, of course, I had the eight-player game on the Sand Lake Broadcasting Airways with Brown City introducing themselves to eight-player football with a 64-12 win over the Pack Pirates. Other eight-player games, KPEC victorious over North Huron, 20-8. Mayville shuts out Caseville, 68-0. On Friday, eight-player football, it was Deckerville over Ashley, 56-14. Kingston over Akron-Fargo, 54-12. Carsonville Port Sandlack gets the forfeit win over International Academy of Flint. Adrian Lanaway Christian, 51-0 over Genesee. Burton Atherton defeats New Haven Mary, 18-8. And Auburn Hills Oakland Christian over Bay City All Saints, 44-6. But Jonathan, listen to the BWAC. Krauser Lexington, big win on the road at Saginaw Swan Valley, 34-7. Elmont, able to survive against Marysville, 35-24. Richmond, shutting out St. Clair, 14-0. North Branch, shutting out Thurston, 56-0. Hazel Park over Emily City, 26-0. That was the only loss, I do believe, in the BWAC. And then Yale over Dearborn Heights, Annapolis, 41-6. But the huge win was Armada over Marine City, 28-27 in double overtime. That was a shocker, Jonathan.
Yeah, that one, I was following that one on Twitter, you know, at the tail end of our game. Like, Armada, they stand a chance against this. And then sure enough, it took them two extra periods, but hey, they got it done, and they pulled off one of the biggest upsets to start off the year.
What was probably one of the, other than that one, the biggest surprise? Was it possibly Brown City and KPEC coming out victorious?
I don't think so much them coming out victorious. The Brown City PEC score surprised me. I thought Brown City would have a good chance at winning that game. I took PEC in it, but I thought Brown City, you know, would be in it. I was surprised what they did to PEC. KPEC beating North Huron, not really surprised there. North Huron's going to be, you know, they're trying to find themselves this year. They lost a lot to the graduating class last year. The big score I thought that was kind of surprising, the two, was Cassidy Reese and then Bad Axe Ubbly.
All right, we're going to talk on that topic. We're going to take our first break and be back with Jonathan Bisher of Thumbtoe-Getter Sports and find out, have they decided where their coverage is going to be also? We're going to try to make our decision come Tuesday, but I know I will be filling in for Thumbtoe-Getter Sports come Wednesday, eight-player football. We're going to find out what KPEC's all about. I know we're going to talk to Paul about this a little bit later on and what KPEC did against North Huron, but Deckerville and KPEC, pretty good matchup in week two for high school eight-player football based on what KPEC and Deckerville did in week one. All right, we'll be right back after a quick commercial break, and we're going to talk about that Greater Thumb Conference coverage with Jonathan Mischer on his Cass City Reese game and the Lakers in Sandusky. We'll be right back here on SALAC Broadcasting Sports Line Radio Show. All right, so that's segment.
Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The fall bowling leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza and Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, BowlLibertyLanes.com.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio on a Monday evening. Sportsline Radio show now on Mondays and Tuesdays, a recap of high school football action. And week one recaps are now underway. Jonathan Mischer, you covered some Greater Thumb Conference games, and it was the Lakers over Sandusky 47-6. SALAC Broadcasting on Thursday will have Sandusky hosting Bad Axe. Bad Axe and Sandusky both lost. Bad Axe to Ubley, Sandusky to the Lakers, 47-6 on a Thursday evening. Jonathan, what did you see about the Lakers that you like that carried over from last year? Have they improved, and are they fully healthy also?
Yeah, they look like they are comfortable in this offense by Coach Levaster being in their second year. You could tell it is a complex offense. We've seen it last year. They struggled at the beginning of the year. This year, week one, looked 20 times better than they did at any point last year with their offense. I mean, they know what they're doing. They get the hand signals, and as soon as they're done, bam, they're ready to rock and roll. Unless they see something they don't want, they're audibling. But they just look fluent. They look comfortable in their offense. Everybody knew their assignment. A big part of that probably was having Ethan Wisner back in the backfield healthy. As long as he can stay healthy this year, they're going to have a three-headed monster to compete with in that backfield with Connor McCain, Ethan Wisner, and Jay Sears, and they all feature something a little bit different.
Yeah, they haven't had a losing season since 2016, but this is the second year under Coach Levaster also. And like you said, last year was a little frustrating for me to call. I know we both cover those games with them taking the timeout there, but, you know, they're eating the clock. They have had to call timeouts early than they wanted to now, but you're saying it was crisp, a lot better.
Yeah, they still take, you know, they get to the line of scrimmage in a hurry. They're still looking over the sideline, getting their hand signals, but you can just tell the way the game flowed that they're not burning these timeouts over these little things. You know, they know what they're doing. They know their assignments. They're not, you know, looking over the sideline for nearly as long, like what they were running through the signals twice, two, three times. It's one time, boom, let's go. Let's run this offense because we think we can put up points.
Well, let's talk about their offense. Tell me what they did on the field there.
They run the ball. They come out, spread you out, but they're going to run the ball, and they're going to run it hard right down your throat with Wisner and McCain in the backfield. And then they're going to sprinkle in some Jay Sears. He only ran the ball a handful of times, but he's a speedster that you got to watch out for, big play ability. And we saw that Thursday night, he had two catches for two touchdowns. One was 60 yards, one was 32 yards. So he's a big play threat for this Lakers offense. But, I mean, they got the ball to all their playmakers. Michael Good touched the ball a couple of times. But, man, Ethan Wisner, watch out. When he is healthy, no one might be able to stop him in the area.
That's a key right, though. Can he stay healthy? Did he look pretty healthy out there?
Yeah, he looked good. He played the entire game, both sides of the ball. Look at the knee that he had troubles with last year was healed right up. It's just, can he now maintain it all year long? But week one, he looked fresh.
All right, and they scored 14-0 after the first quarter, then 12 more points at the second. It was 26-0, then 21 points coming out of the half to Sandusky finally getting their score with 6 points in the third quarter, and that's all they could muster with a final score at 47-6. Total stat-wise, can you tell me what the Lakers total stat-wise did?
I do not have that in front of me because I didn't have my iPad Thursday night.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I had forgotten it. If I remember correctly, Wisner had about 180, 190 yards rushing with two touchdowns on about 20 carries. Everybody else was in the 50s or lower. But like I said, Sears, he had two catches for two touchdowns of 60 and 32. Michael Good had one rush for a 12-yard touchdown. He also had another catch. But this offense, I mean, they got the ball in their playmaker's hand, and they did not miss.
How balanced was their offense?
It was very balanced. They ran the ball way more than they threw it, but they didn't have to throw it. That was the thing. They were having such success running the ball that why throw it? Why risk it? But, man, when they did, I think McKean was 2 for 3, and Wisner was 1 for 1 with a touchdown pass also. So when they did throw the ball, they were efficient about it, and that's what you can ask for in this area. Run the ball, set up a passing game. We'll pass it if we need to.
Well, Sandusky also obviously had their problems. What was it the Lakers did to just stymie the Sandusky wing T offense?
Oh, they won the battle of the line of scrimmage. Sandusky had no answer up front for Lakers' defensive line. Lou Braun and McArdle, they just destroyed that front seven of Sandusky. And it seemed like Sandusky, with these young running backs, they were just a little slow on everything they did. The play was developing slow. And Lakers took advantage of that. They just blew everything up.
Well, now the Lakers will be up against Cass City. You'd covered Cass City against Reese. And when we come back from this break, we'll talk about what the Cass City Redhawks did against the Reese Rockets. Well, we know that they won big on a Friday night. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be a big game. However, Jonathan, now that Cass City's in the East, it's just bragging rights for the Greater Thumb Conference because now, you know, like I said, the Redhawks are playing the Greater Thumb East. And Lakers kind of like, it seems like, they have control of the Greater Thumb West, don't they?
I do believe so.
All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Jonathan Bishop, still here, my co-host, and he is from Thumbshugger to Sports, about what the Cass City Redhawks did against the Reese Rockets on Friday night here on Sportsline Radio.
From Graff, Chevrolet, Buick, and Sandusky, here's Brandon Marley.
It's no secret that dealership lots look very different than they did 3 years ago. In most cases, bare would be a fair description. We understand that this can be incredibly frustrating as a consumer who's looking to make a pretty large purchase, such as a new vehicle. It's difficult enough to decide which color or which options best suit your needs. In test drives, that almost seems like a thing of the past. We can honestly say that we don't like this any more than you do, but sadly, it doesn't appear to be going anywhere anytime soon. And for the time being, we think that we've figured out how to make the purchasing experience as simple and smooth as possible. As always, it can start with a simple phone call, email, or visit to our showroom. At that point, we can go over the vehicles that we have inbound and are not currently reserved, which is currently over 50 Silverados, Blazers, Equinoxes, Encores, and more. Many of these units expected to arrive on our lot in the next couple of months, but we would encourage you not to wait to reserve yours, as most of them become sold before they ever hit the lot. If none of these work for you, it's no problem, as we'd love the opportunity to place an order for you specced out exactly the way you like. The best part is we can lock in today's purchase incentives, and when the vehicle arrives, you have the option of taking those incentives or the incentives available when you take delivery. It doesn't get any better than that. If you're in the market for a new vehicle now, or you think you might be in the next year, give us a call or stop in to go over today's options at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky.
Graff family, we're making friends.
Back here on Sportsline Radio Show with my co-host Jonathan Bisher on the road from Thumbtugger to Sports, I'm Eddie Feary. Sports Lion Radio Show now on Mondays and Tuesday evenings, 5:30 to 7 p.m. We're not going to get all the week one recaps, but we'll continue to talk about what we have now and broken up in two parts on Mondays and Tuesdays. So, Jonathan, you also on Friday went out to see the Cass City Redhawks at the Reese Rockets. A lot of questions going in here as Cass City seemed to be in a rebuilding mode. But, boy, they have a dynamic player out there. He's been on the team for a few years also. Landon Schott did a heck of a job, and boy, did he give the Reese Rockets a real shot in the arm, especially against their defense where he just ran all over them.
Yeah, not only did Landon Schott ran all over them, the entire Cass City Redhawks ran over the entire Reese Rocket team. It was an all-out blitzkrieg attack by the Redhawks, and the Rockets had no answer for them.
So tell me what they did offensively, the Cass City Redhawks.
They went to their base offense, that wing T formation that we so famously see in the area between Ubley and Harbor Beach and Cass City and Sandusky, and they ran it to perfection. I mean, they pounded the ball right down Reese's throat, and Reese's defensive line had no answer.
And then their defense had every answer to stop the Reese Rockets also. The Reese Rockets really couldn't get their offense, at least to get in the end zone.
Yeah, Reese couldn't get their offense going in general. They only had 45 yards on the ground and 35 through the air in that entire game, but it was all Cass City. I mean, they wanted the defensive line and to get pressure on Foco anytime he dropped back, and they weren't able to run the ball at all.
So what is it that you think Cass City has, if you can compare the two teams right now, with this game for the Cass City Redhawks leading in and going up against the Lakers, is this going to be an even matchup? Oh, you've seen both teams now, so it kind of gives you a good gauge on what this think, well, probably one of the premier games of the week.
Yeah, it's going to come right down to the end, and it's going to be a game right at the end of the wire where I think Cass City and Lakers will be a toss-up. It all depends if Cass City's defense can hold up against the spread offense of Lakers. Do they have the athletes to do it? Or does the physicality of Cass City's defense take care of them?
All right. Can you tell me yardage-wise what Landon Schott had for the game for Cass City?
Landon Schott, he had 13 carries for 113 yards and two touchdowns on Friday night, followed by Tyler Kumper, who had 14 carries for 76 yards and a touchdown. Kumper also caught a touchdown pass through the air in the third quarter. I believe that was a 31-yard touchdown it was. So Kumper had two touchdowns on the night along with Schott.
All right, how about the Reese Rockets? What were they able to muster at all?
Like I said, I think Reese was just over 100 yards of total offense. They had 45 on the ground and 35 through the air, so they only had 90 yards of offense. Foco was 6 of 14. Reese, though, when they did drop back and pass, they showed some life there. They were able, when Foco was able to get out of pressure and scramble and find a receiver, they showed a little bit of life through the air, but on the ground, there was nothing there, and every time Foco dropped back, he was under pressure.
So is there maybe things that Reese can correct and probably get back right the ship here? Because, well, it's going to be tough because they got Harbor Beach in week two already. It is a cross-conference game, but then in league play, they'll have USA, Bad Axe, and Vassar. Kind of a favorable schedule depending what those three teams are able to bounce back with in week two as USA, Bad Axe, and Vassar. USA, Bad Axe lost. Vassar got the forfeit win because they didn't have to play Algonac. Algonac canceled their forfeited their game and canceled their varsity season. But then following that, Reese will have Lakers, Carroll, Sandusky, and then Ubley to wrap it up. But that's Greater Thumb East. Does Reese show any signs that maybe they can, you know, stay in the play? Or is it Lakers just pretty much strong?
They can, if they get things taken care of up front, they'll be okay. They got enough athletes where they can do something. It's just their offensive line, I mean, got manhandled by Cass City. There was nothing they could do. I think they just need to get back to the basics. Now, they are in a new offense under a new head coach, Kerry Messing. And like we saw last year with Lakers, it was a learning curve. So this is week one against a very good Cass City team, or they seem to be a very good Cass City team, that they might just been overwhelmed going against Cass City with a new offense.
Well, with the Reese Rockets go up against the Harbor Beach Pirates, they defeated the USA Patriots 34-0 on Friday night also. And Harbor Beach controlled much of the game, winning the defensive battle up front. USA started the game with a long drive but failed to score. Pirates 22-0 at the end of the first half and built onto that in the game 34-0. Ashley Winter Palmer was at that game. She was at the game, but Troy Schelke, still the head coach there, as I said, forever since he came out of the womb of his mother last week. The running game for the Harbor Beach Pirates went to work. Shea Woodke did a pretty good job up front and as a running back, of course. Utilizing a wing T offense, probably didn't have to utilize the spread too much also in that game in the win over USA.
No, it sounded like a little bit. I talked to some people that are at the game. They went to that base wing T offense. They punched it right down USA's throat. Shea Woodkey sounded like he played out of his mind. He ran the ball hard. But for USA being a young team, it sounds like once again, just like last year. They move the ball between the 20s. They just can't score.
Well, you saw Sandusky. Now, you heard about what Bad Axe did. What do you see for this game that will be on Sand Lake Broadcasting here on Thursday? Bad Axe is on the road at Sandusky. Now, I found out from a teacher today on the morning show that there may be some injuries for Sandusky. Do you know of any Bad Axe injuries, or you think they'll just have enough to go up against each other? Because both teams, of course, 0-1, had some big losses, of course, in week one. Do you see this as an evenly matched up game?
The only thing for Bad Axe is they had a player ejected in the game against Ubley, so he'll miss that complete game against Sandusky. Sandusky, if they go back and look at the game tape and see what Ubley did, because we know they run the same offense because Coach Jacobson came from Ubley, they see where they had success against Bad Axe. But Bad Axe, like we heard on the radio, when they spread it out with the athletes they got, they can be dangerous. They're able to move the ball on Ubley through the air, but can Sandusky's pass defense hold up on that? Because of the way it looks like, Bad Axe can't run the ball this year.
All right, that's Jonathan Bisher. All right, Jonathan Bisher, good luck playing softball today. I want to thank you for joining us here on our Sportsline Radio show, and we continue our coverage here. Have you decided yet on coverage-wise yet, or are you still debating?
Well, we know you're going to do KPAC Deckerville on Wednesday, 8-player football. I got to talk to Phil on Friday and see where he wants to go, but I'm leaning towards Harbor Beach Reef just because that's kind of the close game in the area that's not being covered, it looks like.
Yeah, but it's not a bad idea because we got to see what Harbor Beach is really all about, too. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, you want to see them before they run into the Cass Cities and Ubleys of the world. You want to be able to see them against maybe a little bit of tougher competition. I'm kind of curious if Reese can improve after that horrific week one performance.
Yeah, and the other game that I'm looking at is against Marlette also. So pretty good questions about them. So, yeah.
Yep.
All right, Jonathan, thank you.
Yep, see you, Eddie. Thanks for having me.
What's that? What'd you say? I can barely hear you. You need to switch to the talk of the thumb.
Summer's over, and it's time to get those pencils sharpened, notebooks ready, backpacks packed, and a deal on a new smartphone from Thumb Cellular. Grab the latest, greatest phone for your student and receive a $50 account credit with any upgrade, or get a $100 account credit when you activate a new line. And get the latest Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 on sale for $13.99. Don't forget the accessories. Get one accessory at a regular price, and get the second one of equal or lesser value, half off. For added peace of mind, be sure to take advantage of their flexible insurance options, including AppleCare. Oh, and ask about the data buckets if you anticipate needing a little extra data to get by. You don't want to miss Thumb Cellular's back-to-school deals, so hurry into the nearest location in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky. Terms and conditions apply. Speak with a customer care representative for details. Apple AirPods not included in accessory sale. Offers valid through August 31st, 2022.
Back here with Paul Adams of the Huron County View. We are going to talk about the Ubley Bearcats game against the Bad Axe Hatchets. And boy, a statement was made by the Ubley Bearcats. Paul, you covered this game also. I know WOW Sports covered this game also. And we weren't at this game. We wondered about the coverage of what Bad Axe had. You know, everybody's a little excited about what they had. But Ubley Bearcats pretty much picked up where they left off. And you're saying that you think they might be better than a 12-1 team last year.
Oh, I truly believe that they're a better team than they were last year. I just think most of the guys are back on this roster, Eddie. They've got that year under their belt. A lot of these guys on this roster played for that state runner-up team as well. So this is a team that knows what it takes to play deep into the season. I just saw a sense of focus and motivation that I haven't seen out of this team in quite a while. I mean, they wanted to come out, they wanted to prove a point, and they did that. They were up 41-0 in this game. Bad Axe tried to surprise them with an onside kick. That didn't work to start the game, and you gave Ubley a 50-yard field, and I called that first drive surgical. It was the wing tee running to perfection, really. It was defensively
probably look great. They forced Badax out of their base defense or out of their base offense, and I thought that was a real telling sign that Badax's base offense did next to nothing against Ubley, and moved the ball a little bit, throwing the ball, but couldn't run the ball. Had 50 yards on I think 29 carries, so the running game was non-existent. Ubley made Badax one-dimensional, and man, it was everything you come to expect from Ubley. It was a dominating performance. No offensive penalties. They had one pass interference penalty, so Ubley doesn't beat themselves. And when they're playing like that, it's awfully hard to beat.
Yeah, you talked about Evan Peruski, 109 yards rushing, 95 yards for Aiden Makoviak, 88 yards for Mark Heilig. Seth Maurer also with 54 yards. Familiar names from last year's offense.
Familiar names, and I liked Aiden Makoviak moving from the line to the running back or to the fullback position. He only had 9 carries for his yards, so he made the most of what he when he carried the ball. Heilig was the workhorse, and he's going to be all year. Evan Peruski is a big play threat. I believe the first time he touched the ball, either the first or second time Peruski touched the ball, he took it to the house for a touchdown. So, you know, that offense is really hard to stop, and it starts with the offensive line as well. This offensive line is good. Their technique is so sound. They all know their assignments. They execute. The running backs are great blockers as well. That's one thing I think that gets overlooked in this Ubley system is, you look at they've ran the ball for over 350 yards, but all those running backs carry out their blocks. And when they're doing that, that offense is clicking.
Yeah, you talked about the workhorse, Mark Heilig. 18 carries, 88 yards, but he had 3 touchdowns, got rewarded for that. Aiden Makoviak, you talked about, may not carried, but boy, he made the most of it. 95 yards on 9 carries alone. Evan Peruski, the same thing. 7 rushes for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Evan Peruski is your break glass in case of emergency option. If Ubley, ideally, they'd like to go through a game and not run Peruski at all. But there was some spots where they felt like, they could exploit, and they did that. And I think they kept his physical contact to a minimum as well. He's a junior now, and this is, I believe, was his 26th start on varsity. And I think you can see he's a little bit smarter now, and he's not going to contact. He's avoiding contact. He'll take it out of bounds instead of turning it upfield for an extra yard or two because it's going to be a long season. The Bearcats know they're expected to be playing deep into November. So if you can avoid contact at this time of the year and limit your carries, that's just a bonus for them. But I really liked what they brought to the table. I think Seth Maurer, you're going to see him with some big games. Aiden Makoviak, you're going to see him. There's going to be a game or two this season where Makoviak goes over 150 yards and scores 3 times because they'll run into a team that can't stop the fullback trap. And then you have that workhorse with Heilig. It's just a finely tuned machine right now.
Well, not much offense for the Badax Hatchets in this. So what was the problem with them?
I'll try to be nice, but, they installed a new offense. Coach Verberg has taken over. He coached Lakers for a few years, and Badax is trying to run the double wing offense, and the double wing offense can be effective, but I think the players are having a tough time adjusting to it. And, quite frankly, the only time Badax was able to move the ball is when they weren't in the double wing. So, there's a lot of work to be done with that Badax team. There's a lot of high expectations for the Hatchets. They brought a ton of players back from a team that's gone back-to-back Greater Thun West co-champions, have made the playoffs those years. And to put it in perspective, though, Eddie, Badax didn't lose anything as far as their goals are concerned against Ubley. Everything is still up in front of them, the conference championship, a playoff berth. There's a lot of winnable games still on the schedule. I think as we look back at this game, it's not going to be so much how bad Badax was. It's how good Ubley is. I think Ubley is just head and shoulders above a lot of teams, including Bad Axe. Can't wait to see Ubley against Cass City and Harbor Beach. But I just think that the story of this game was just how good Ubley really was.
Yeah, 423 all-purpose yards. They only had 32 yards passing. Ground and pound on the ground, that's their bread and butter for Ubley. The Ubley defense only allowed 50 yards rushing against the Bad Axe Hatchets. They did allow 175 yards passing, but that's what they had to go to for the Bad Axe Hatchets, didn't they, to try to catch up?
Yeah, you know, that number, the passing number, it's kind of deceiving. A lot of that came in the second half when the game was at hand. There were some reserves in for Ubley. So that 175 yards passing, on the surface, it looks like, oh, wow, you know, Ubley's pass defense needs to be shored up. Not really. You just got to understand when those yards came. Those yards came when the game was 41-0. So against the starting Ubley defense, Bad Axe barely got any first downs. It wasn't until late in the game where Bad Axe was able to move the ball and get some of those yards. So, it's almost like those numbers are a little hollow as far as the 175 yards passing.
Yeah, you know, so there was a 41-7 win for the Ubley Bad Axe over the Bad Axe Hatchets. Another notes here for the Bad Axe Hatchets. I want to put out the yards that they had. Rushing-wise, Griffin Meinhold, 10 carries, 25 yards. Evan Schenck had 6 carries for 10 yards rushing-wise. Passing, Keaton Braun, or is it Brown?
Brown.
And he had 147 yards passing, 7 completions on 17 attempts, 1 interception, did have a touchdown pass also. 28 yards receiving for Griffin Meinhold also with 1 completion. The receiving, Jake McPhee with 93 yards, 4 receptions, and a touchdown. Drayden Romas, 48 yards also. 26-yard receiver for Griffin Meinhold. By the way, the passing, that was Griffin Meinhold with the 1 completion for 28 yards and 1 attempt also on the passing. Now, but 99-yard special teams, that's kind of a bright spot for Bad Axe there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there were some bright spots. And, you know, as far as Bad Axe goes, let's see how they circle the wagon. They got Sandusky this week, on Thursday. So, I'm going to reserve judgment on Bad Axe until I see what they do against Sandusky and get a couple more games in. Because, again, I just think I'm probably just so much better than everybody else that it's really hard to measure Bad Axe. I don't think the sky's falling by any means for the Hatchets right now. I just think this is just how good Ubley really is. And if Ubley's coming out of the gates against a perennial playoff team and contender for the West, like that, what are they going to do the rest of the season if they stay motivated and stay healthy? It's really scary what this Ubley team is capable of.
All right.
To me, motivation and injuries, those are the two biggest things. They have to avoid injuries and stay motivated. If they do that, sky's the limit for the Bearcats.
Yeah, the Ubley Bearcats will have Carroll this week. And then week 3, a little bit of a question mark here. We'll see what Marlette does this week also. Marlette's on September 9th in week 3. Then Ubley has Harbor Beach, the Backyard Brawl, Memphis, and then the new Greater Thumb East joinee, Cass City Redhawks, also followed by Sandusky, USA, and Reese. So, yeah, schedule looks good until the middle part for the Ubley Bearcats this season.
Yeah, I love the schedule. I think it plays out really well. Obviously, everybody's got that the two games are circled against Harbor Beach and Cass City. Those are going to decide the Greater Thumb East. I'm super excited about that matchup with Cass City. Can't wait to see that game.
So, Paul, what is your coverage this week for the Huron County View?
I'm actually going to Red Hawk Country. Fancy that. Lakers is heading over there in a crossover game. Plain and simple, it's the best game on the schedule. Cass City dismantled Reese. Lakers took care of Sandusky. I'm really interested to see these two teams, how they match up against each other.
All right, that's Paul Adams of the Huron County View. Check out their issue out free online. Huron County View on Thursdays right at midnight, I believe, right? Comes right out?
That is correct.
All right, and check that out. Follow them on Facebook also, the Huron County View Sports also. Paul Adams, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Eddie. Always a pleasure.
There are names of businesses in our hometown that stand out because of their reputation, their professionalism, and their longevity. One of these cornerstones is the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. Since 1978, Grant Smith has been preserving and providing security through health insurance policies when most needed. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency today and know that he will also be here for you tomorrow.
Local news, local sports, local entertainment, faith, lifestyles, and so much more. That's what you get at BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. Blue Water Healthy Living is an online magazine that keeps you in the know and lets you escape with their featured video shows, news, and daily articles. Blue Water Healthy Living can be the best part of your day, every day. Visit BlueWaterHealthyLiving.com. It's the online magazine that focuses on the heart and soul of the Blue Water area community.
Denny King, the King of Cars, here at Moore Motors in Caro. What a crazy couple years we've had, coming out of an unprecedented quarantine. Toilet paper and food shortages, insane gas and fuel prices, mask or no mask, vehicle shortages. And it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, this world, and particularly the car business, has changed forever. With that said, Moore Motors Ford, Lincoln, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram is here, fully staffed with seasoned veterans to assist you with all your car needs. Sales, parts, service, and body shop. We have certified experts on hand to assist you ordering exactly what vehicle you want with the exact options. And finally, I can say we have 34 new vehicles and 58 pre-owned in stock. And don't worry, friends, we're not charging over sticker for our vehicles like some of our competitors. We're paying top dollar for needed trade-ins as well as lease turn-ins. So come experience why we were voted the number one new car dealer in the Thumb by you, our friends, neighbors, and customers. This is Denny King, the King of Cars, and I'm excited to assist you and see you soon. Or visit us on the web at themooreautogroup.com.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Sportsline Radio Show. Now on Mondays and Tuesdays, I hope the word is getting around. You can follow us on Facebook also at sandlakebroadcasting.com. Speaking of great sports coverage, check out the Sand Lake County News. In the studio now that Jonathan's gone trying to play softball in the rain is Mike Gallagher from the Sand Lake County News, back again for our second edition of Sportsline Radio Show. How you doing, man?
Thanks for having me. We had a great first week of high school sports. A lot of good football, a lot of other good stuff going on last week, and looking forward to talking about it with you.
And another great sports writer, feverishly getting up the paper done for his Wednesday edition, is Scott Bowlesby of the Tuscola County Advertiser, also Let's Talk Sports and 92.1. Scotty, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you, Eddie?
Great. And you know, your first full-fledged preview issue will come out this Wednesday also, right?
Yeah, my football came out last Wednesday, and now the full fall preview is out this Wednesday, yeah. So then we're done with it, and it's smooth sailing after that, right?
Yeah, man, it's smooth, yeah. Just like this show, right? Yeah, a little bumpy here. So, all right, let's talk about actually in your neck of the coverage. And, Mike, we're going to pull back here and talk about Sandusky a little bit and what they did against the Lakers. We talked to Jonathan about it. Jonathan didn't have those Sandusky stats in front of him. You will. But, Scotty, in your coverage area, the Cass City Redhawks, boy, we covered this game on Thumbchucker Sports. They really put a shellacking on the Reese Rockets. No wonder, I mean, I think maybe the fuel ran out in Reese, but also for our space to the moon, our spaceship. But, man, Cass City winning 50-0 over the Reese Rockets. Good start for week one for the Redhawks.
Hey, good point there, Eddie, as the Rockets not having a good week all the way around on the football field and trying to go out in space. But, yeah, no launch for the Reese Rockets either. They had a rough go of it. Not much to report back. I did get some quick stats from Kerry Messing, the new head coach over there, but really not much to write home about. I was going to actually hit that game up. I started in Kingston. Kingston-Akron kind of got out of hand a little bit. I was actually getting text messages from Lenny Dantin, the Millington, now defensive coordinator. He went over there with Jason Germain, now the head coach, just to watch it, check it out. And he texted me and said, if you're planning on coming here, don't. He's like, it's not worth it. Cassidy's just dominating. He said, from what I've heard from people, is the line looked amazing. Cassidy football's back, let's be honest.
Yeah, and were you surprised about that score also there, Mike?
I was maybe a little bit surprised. I don't know a whole lot about Reese, and, you know, we talked about it a lot in the preseason show. We expected a lot of really good things from Cass City this year. So maybe not too surprising of a score, but, I mean, 50-0, that always grabs your attention.
Yeah, and Scotty, this week Cass City will take on the Lakers now, but they won't be playing as Greater Thumb West opponents, cross-country opponents, but this is some key playoff points, though.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a big matchup week two. I mean, you got Cass City who's going in hot, 50-0 win. You got Elkton Pigeon Bayport who's coming in hot with a huge win over Sandusky, 47-6. I mean, something's going to give this week, and I think it's going to be another one of those classic battles between Laker and Cass City, and it'll prove why they really, really dislike each other.
And just to give you a clues for folks who don't know and didn't recall last week, Cass City's now in the Greater Thumb East due to the loss of KPAC and Brown City to kind of help out and even up the Greater Thumb Conference East and West. After Cass City plays Lakers this week, then they get into league play. They'll have Harbor Beach, pretty good test there to start off in the Greater Thumb East. Then Memphis, Sandusky, and then Ubley is a big matchup on September 30th, followed by Marlette, and then back to their old Greater Thumb West opponents, Carroll and Bad Axe. So going to be a pretty, I would say, the next couple weeks is going to be the true test here for Cass City, Mike.
Yeah, we're going to really find out. And again, something that we talked about, they still have those tough crossover matchups in the West, you know, and that's honestly a good thing because over the past few years, Cass City and Lakers have just had some great battles. So I'm glad to see that game stick around. And, you know, Cass City Reese, that's a big rivalry as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to keep rolling.
Scotty, any quick comment on that? Go ahead.
Real quick, just so everyone knows, Cass City is not playing Bad Axe Week 9. It still shows it online on like Michigan football, but they are actually going to be traveling to Beale City and take on potentially one of the top teams in the state in Beale City. They could be battling it with Ubley here in a couple of weeks as well. Wow.
Yeah, that's been some great scouting tape there for Ubley. So Cass City kind of doing them a favor.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. I mean, they wanted that game. Beale City said, hey, you know, you're not getting away that easy. And I'm sure Scott Cuthrell said, all right, we'll face you, whatever. We're ready to take on whatever. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good test for Cass City going on in. They're in a super tough division. I mean, Division 7 may, from top to bottom, be one of the toughest divisions in the entire state. I think it's gonna battle test them as they roll on into the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, let's say that. It's only week one.
Yeah, cross your fingers for both those teams. But Cass City will meet up with Ubley, of course, for bragging rights for that Greater Thumb East title if they can get that also. Your alma mater, the Sandusky Redskins. We touched on the Lakers. Lakers took care of the Sandusky Redskins. Mike, you have some pretty good stats here in what Lakers did against and held against the Sandusky Redskins. Were they able to muster any offense? I missed this with Jonathan Bishop. We didn't have those Sandusky stats. You have them.
Yeah, we have the Sandusky stats here. 29 carries, 87 yards, just 3 yards a carry. And, you know, that puts your defense in some tough spots. And when Sandusky is playing well, it's when their run game is working. And they just really couldn't get it going last week. I'm going to chalk it up to Lakers just being maybe a lot better than we thought they were going to be. I mean, we already knew they were going to be good, but just an impressive performance on the ground. Ethan Wisner with 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. They also did fairly well in the passing game, 3 touchdowns. Didn't even really have to go to the air all that much. For Sandusky, Jackson Reinke, 5 carries, 44 yards. Carter Kraus, 8 carries, 34 yards. And then not a whole lot else there. I think the interesting stat from the night, and I don't know if this is just because of what the score was or if this is what we're going to see out of Sandusky's offense a little bit more, but 8 passing attempts for Kyle Guibord. That's, if you know Sandusky football, that's a pretty big number. He went 3 for 8, 75 yards, all 3 receptions to Danny Tovar. So if that's a weapon for Sandusky this year, that could be pretty dangerous. Defensively for Sandusky, Brennan Long, 4 tackles, Kyle Guibord, 4 tackles, and then 3 tackles each for Mitchell Davis, Danny Tovar, and Jackson Reinke.
I know you keep up to date with your alma mater there at Sandusky there, Scotty. Can they bounce back against the Bad Axe Hatchets, who got throttled also against the Ubley Bearcats? Total offense for Bad Axe, they did have 324 all-purpose yards, 99 of that in special teams. Passing-wise, 175 yards. This matchup could be even matchup. This will be our Sandlack Broadcasting game of the week with Bad Axe at Sandusky.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sandusky took a thump in week one. We kind of expected Laker to be the top team in the West, and I think going into that game, we weren't sure what to expect, and Laker said, hey, you know, we are a force to be reckoned with in the West. And, you know, Sandusky, Mike, I'm not sure if it's public knowledge. There was an injury in that game, a pretty major injury to the line. I don't know if I should speak out of term here and you know, kind of break a code of no one apparent. But one of their players got taken to the hospital. Everything came back normal. No breaks or anything, but they did miss a big key part, a big senior. And I'm not saying that was a complete, you know, difference of the game, but you lose a leader like that in the field, it definitely could change your mentality a little bit. But, you know, this is going to be an interesting game. I think I told you guys earlier, this is a very intriguing matchup with Bad Axe. We'll see which one bounces back, because obviously somebody has to bounce back this week, and, you know, this is the week to do it.
You were a football player, Mike. Have you ever had any injuries, and were you able to heal up quickly up to Thursday in a short week or in 4 or 5 days, or...?
Maybe some untreated concussions. No. No, thankfully I made it through my career with no serious injuries, so I'm pretty thankful for that.
All right. So I want to come back to your neck of the woods there, Millington. You covered this game on your Game of the Week, yeah, on 92.1 FM. New head coach there at Millington. They're one of the smallest schools, right, in the Tri-Valley?
Yeah, they have to be. They're right there. I think Christian would say. I'd have to. I don't want to say for sure, but I think they've got to be right there.
So, who took over now? The new head coach,
Jermaine, the former offensive coordinator, split on into right offensive or defensive coordinator. You see, I get them all mixed up now. All I know is Lenny Dantin switched over to defensive coordinator. He was a defensive back coming out of high school. He went to college at SBSU, played DB there. And you know, he really loves the defensive side of things, so he slid in that role. And Jermaine, who was a graduate of Millington, is now the head coach. Lenny's also the high school principal, so he wanted to take a step back, take a little bit off of his shoulders. And Jermaine, you know, happily stepped up and took that on. Also, he took on the assistant principal role and the AD role still, so it's not like he's really lightened his load much either.
Any chance of Millington facing off against any of the Gritter Thumb Conference teams in the playoffs?
Let's see, Division 6. Would they play anybody?
Cass City?
Cass City will be D7.
No? Yeah, they'll be D7. I don't think we'll see them get anybody.
Maybe if Carroll sneaks in.
What's that?
Maybe if Carroll sneaks into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's tough right now. we'll go. That's a different story, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. If Carroll slipped in, maybe, but you're going to see them more than likely probably get a Montrose again or Metro Detroit. Who knows what the MHSA has in store, but I don't see them playing anybody from the Thumb area, unfortunately.
So give you guys a big take here. We're going to come back after this next segment and talk about Marlette and Carroll and the rest of the Greater Thumb Conference schedule. Tomorrow's episode will feature the Blue Water Area Conference, big shockers there, and also A-player football. For you in the Greater Thumb Conference, Scotty, what really popped out at you?
That the West is not nearly as strong as they once were. I gave you guys a stat earlier that they got outscored like 160-15 or something in the losses this week. The only wins came via forfeit for Vassar. And Laker also got the win. But other than that, a lot of our teams got shut out in the West. I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was how much Ubley throttled Bad Axe. I knew Ubley was going to be good, but I kind of thought Bad Axe would hang with them a little bit more. So, again, we can reiterate it now. I think Laker is the top dog in the West, hands down at this point, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So the West was not the best, but the East had the beast.
They have the beast, that is for sure, and they just added another one when they brought Cass City in. So, you know, shout out to them. And real quick, we went by Millington, but I just want to give a shout out to Ian Crump, his first game as quarterback. Phenomenal game. Kid tossed for 2 touchdowns, ran for another against Detroit Southeastern, and he's going to be a name to watch out for. Just a junior, and he plays both sides of the ball very well. So remember that name, Ian Crump.
All right, and we'll remember that come the sports meeting, if we can remember that. Yeah. So, yeah, by then. All right, Scott Bosby with us from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Stand by, folks. Another coverage area team for Mike and Scott Bosby here will be Marlette and Carroll. actually. Yeah. And we're going to talk about in the next break and talk about what the Greater Thumb Conference has. I think the format right now would be Monday, we talk about the Greater Thumb Conference, and then Tuesday, the Blue Water Area Conference and eight-player football. So it's going to fit right in there. So, all right, we're going to take a break, folks, and we'll be right back here on Sportsline Radio Show on WMIC AM 660, 95.3 FM. Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The Fall Bowling Leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies' leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza in Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, BowlLibertyLanes.com.
Yeah, you've got a desktop PC and there's a few things that are, well, less than perfect. It's old, slow, and has a tendency to quit working at the worst possible times. You need a new computer, but the big box stores are costly and knowing what you need is overwhelming. There is a way you can get what you want at the right price. Look to the EBS Tech Team, your local tech experts. Whether you use your desktop PC for browsing the web, running your business, or even competitive gaming, the EBS Tech Team can build a computer suited for your specific needs. Nothing more and nothing less means your dollars are spent wisely. Each custom PC from the EBS Tech Team includes a one-year limited warranty for peace of mind. Call the EBS Tech Team today for more details at 888-282-4943. Or visit one of their convenient office locations in Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky.
Welcome back to Sportsline Radio Show on this Monday. We're talking about the Greater Thumb Conference, and it looks like our segment's going to be pretty much talking about the Greater Thumb Conference Monday evenings, 5:30 to 7 p.m. We have our Sportsline Radio Show, and then we'll talk about the Blue Water Area Conference and eight-player football on Tuesday. With me is Scott Mosby-Steele from the Tuscola County Advertiser. Get their subscription full year for just $52. I got mine last week. And, of course, get your subscription for the San Lake County News. But their editions comes out on Wednesdays also. I got the online edition also. And, Scotty, yours comes out Wednesdays. And the Saturday edition is online only. And yep. Pretty cool to have that, actually. I like the online stuff. What other days?
Just Wednesday and Saturday.
Wednesday and Saturday. Okay. And your full preview section comes out this Wednesday also. So pick up that paper,
football,
folks.
If you want football, grab it now. It's on newsstands now, or else you're going to be out of luck. And then the rest of the sports are going to be in Wednesdays.
All right. Let's move on to the Marlette Red Raiders. They got a big win also over the Carroll Tigers in cross-conference play. Big win for the Raiders in week one. 44-6 was the final score. Scotty, let's touch on this.
Yeah, big win. I don't know. All I know is the only person to score was Riley Parker, who was kind of the player I said, you know, could make some noise for Carroll this year right away. Very athletic kid. He does hurdles during the track and track season. Very athletic kid. But just too much Marlette from the sounds of it. I was getting updates. Mike and I were from Zach Cady over at Marlette, and I mean, it just seemed like every time I looked at my phone, there was a new scoring update or a new takeaway or a new big play by Marlette. So shout out to Coach Denny Lester, and he gave a shout out in his quotes, and I'm sure Mike saw it too, to defense coordinator Derek Hall, who put in a good scheme against Carroll, and the kids came out and executed it. So you couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah, first six touchdowns by Marlette, and then finally Carroll scored in the third quarter, making it 44-6, the lone touchdown for the Carroll Tigers. Mm-hmm. Mike, let's talk about the offense there for Marlette.
Yeah, Marlette, I was really impressed by this score. Not necessarily that I didn't think Marlette was going to win this game. I wasn't really expecting 44-6. just because Marlette lost so much last year. They lost 12 seniors. Obviously, last year they had the great great regular season, and they pick up the playoff win against Cass City. So you lose that senior class. Marlette had three offensive returners this year and two defensive returners. So you have such a young team, and you have new starters at so many different positions, and they didn't seem to miss a beat. And I think a large part of that goes to new quarterback Quentin Sarton. He had a throwing touchdown, running touchdown, and an interception return for a touchdown. So he really sparked the team. A lot of balance with the running game. Sarton was 64 yards, Logan Malloy 30 yards, Wesley Chapin 30 yards, and then Trey Lester with 20 yards. But I think maybe the most impressive thing for Marlette was what they did defensively, because you look at that senior group last year and you look at Tyler Chisholm, Travis Fuller, Tristan Creighton, Miles Parker, and Brennan Whiteside. During their Marlette career, they combined for over 500 tackles, 60 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, and 7 interceptions. So you have to replace that production. And to hold Caro to just 6 points, they gave up 127 yards of total offense. Like Scott said, and like Denny said, you know, credit has to go to defensive coordinator Derek Hall. They had Quentin Sarton, 4.5 tackles, Jack Machet, 4.5 tackles, Connor Kelly, 4 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss. Aaron Bauer with a good game. He had 3 tackles, 2 sacks, and a receiving touchdown. And this is, we talked about this before in the preseason show. Marlette is a team that, you know, you open with Caro, you got USA this week, and, you know, if they get things rolling, they're going to be a tough team to beat. And for such a young team to get a win like that, that's going to be great for the confidence, which they're going to need if they're going to battle in the Greater Thumb East this year.
Yeah, and come week 3 is, I guess, that big matchup against Ubley. Then they'll have Sandusky and Harbor Beach also in Cass City in week 7. Scotty, your take on this.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet right there. We talked about that in the preseason game, or the preseason show, that it was going to be a gauntlet for really anybody in the Greater Thumb East. And you look at it, and like you said, you got Ubley coming up. I guess Sandusky, Harbor Beach. They get Memphis, and then they cap off the conference play with Cass City. I mean, that's some, you know, tough test in there. And then, you know, and then they close things out with Vassar, who I still have no idea what to expect from them because they didn't play week 1. And then you get Waterford Our Lady of the Lakes to cap things off in week number 9. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be a haul in front of them, and we're going to really see what the squad is all about. But if there's anybody in the Thumb area coach-wise that is prepared for a gauntlet, I think it's Coach Denny Lester. He knows what it's like playing the East. You know, he's been within, you know, points of winning the East. I mean, last year outside of the Ubley game, they, you know, they handled the East. I mean, Harbor Beach, they you know, they fell to them by 2. They were in that game to the end. So, you know, I know he knows what it's like to play in that tough East, and I just think that you know, we're going to find out what this squad's really about, and, you know, I think they'll get battle tested, and I could see some gelling going on with some of these younger guys.
Now, 60 yards passing for Marlette, rushing-wise, heck of a job. Is it me? Mm-hmm. This seems like the last couple of years, more ground and pound in that spread offense instead of the passing game.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. They had a great quarterback the past couple of years in Jason Tenbush, and then you got Grant Roberson and Travis Fuller out at the receiver positions. But yeah, it's nice to see that balance from Marlette. So when they have to go to the air, they can. But I mean, we saw last year with the playoff win over Cass City, 28-0. I mean, that was a downpour all night, and you're not going to be throwing the ball around all the time. So you need to have that option offensively to be able to run the ball. And, you know, they've done that pretty well the past couple years. And they've got a couple returners on the offensive line this year. And being such a young team, I think they are going to lean on that run game for a little bit.
171 yards rushing total for Marlette. Just 90 yards rushing for Caro. Passing-wise, 37 yards. And you figured there should be more yards because of the scoring. But I think it was just the short field that Marlette had.
Yeah,
it seemed like, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, the short field, the pick six for Sarton, and then, you know, this game was pretty much over by halftime. Marlette's not going to run it up on you in the second half. So maybe the stats don't tell the whole story. But yeah, just a great win for Marlette.
Scotty, you wanted to add to that?
No, I was just going to say kind of the same thing as Mike said. You know, when we were getting updates, it seemed like, you know, Marlette was either getting big kick returns to get them deep into Carroll territory, or they were forcing turnovers, you know, whether it be on downs, or I believe there was a couple interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. That, you know, I could be wrong. I got so many stats going through my head right now as far as games. But, you know, just these little things that got them deep into Carroll territory, then they punch it in for, you know, 20-yard run or 15, 10-yard run and get it in for the end of the score. And I kind of felt the same way you did, Eddie. I was expecting to look at it and see a ton of, you know, ton of yards, but, you know, they got the job done. They were able to get a great field position.
Well, they're hoping to keep the momentum. They'll have Unionville Seaboyne, who lost to Harbor Beach 34-0. Tell me what's going on in USA Patriots camp.
You know, we saw them in that scrimmage before the season against Standish Sterling and Sandusky. Mike and I were both up there, and Landon Russell looked really good. Outside of that, I don't know a ton. I mean, I see Dirk Ryerson had 12 carries for 38 yards, so it just looks like these carries and then, you know, probably immediately brought down. But Harbor Beach's defense, it seems like they're back maybe. I was told, or I was listening to another, you know, pregame show, and they said that the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. But I don't know. Obviously, maybe they heard that and they decided to try to prove some people otherwise. But I don't know what to expect from USA. That's why this game is another one of those intriguing games, because Landon Russell, 17 carries for 31 yards. He was 4-4 for 27 yards. And, you know, I think if he can get in a more open field, I think that they'll be all right, because he seems like the type that, you know, he gets on that open field, he takes off, and, you know, that'll help all the Patriots a lot. But can they do it against Marlette? I don't know. It seems like, you know, Derek Hall is a pretty darn good defensive coordinator.
All right, Scott Bowles with the Tuscola County Advertiser. That's Mike Gallagher, the Sandlick County News. Stick around, folks, because tomorrow on Tuesday we'll talk about the Blue Water Area Conference and high school A player football. Game matchups in the Grid of Thumb Conference, guys. Bad Axe and Sandusky. Carroll versus Ubley. Cassidy against the Lakers. Big game there. Marlette against Unionville Seaboyne. Memphis and Vassar. Harbor Beach and Reese also in action. A lot of cross-conference games for that in play. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. It's all cross-conference once again. What one pops out? Obviously, I think it's the Cass City and Lakers are covering the Sand Lake Broadcasting Bad Axe Sandusky.
Yeah, obviously Cass City Lakers. But for myself personally, I'm really looking forward to Marlette USA. That's likely where I'll be this week, because it'll be a different type of challenge for the Marlette defense. Carroll kind of spreads things out, runs that spread offense. USA, they're not going to spread it out. They're going to be under center. They're going to be running wing T. And we're going to really see what Marlette's defense is made out of. And, you know, if they can stop that power run game, because when you play Ubley, when you play Cass City, when you play Harbor Beach, when you play Sandusky, you're going to have to be able to stop the run. And then, of course, Sandusky Bad Axe. I'm looking forward to that one, because both teams are trying to bounce back from tough week one losses. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Sandusky does in week two here. And I personally do think that they will bounce back. I think they match up well with Bad Axe, especially defensively. And we'll see what happens.
Of course, for you, Scotty, I think it's Cass City Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to throw you guys off a little bit here and throw a curveball. I'm going to say Vassar Memphis, because we don't know what Vassar's all about.
Yeah.
Vassar could start off the season 2-0 before they go against Laker. If they do suffer a loss to Laker, they back it up with Carroll and Reese. Vassar could go 4-1 through the first 5 weeks. and then they'd have to beat Bad Axe USA, Marlette, or Harbor Beach in order to, I don't want to say guarantee themselves, but get themselves in good position for playoffs. But it's just, it's crazy. And I at the beginning of the season, if you would have said the Wild West, I'm like, you're crazy. But it is kind of the Wild West, because it's Laker and then everybody else below that.
Yeah, we really don't know what Vassar's all about yet, do we?
So. No, not a bet. We got a brand new coach in there, brand new quarterback, brand new everything over there, and I've yet to see them step onto the field as a varsity squad.
All right, Scott Bozzi of the Tuscola County Advertiser, thank you for joining us for this Monday edition of Sportsline Radio Show. Tune in tomorrow, Tuesday. Scotty and Mike will be joining me once again as we talk about the Blue Water Area Conference and high school A-player football. Thank you for tuning in to the Monday Sportsline Radio Show edition on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM. And follow these guys on their Tuscola County Advertiser Facebook website. Get their subscription. Also, Sand Lake County News Sports. Mike Gallagher online with his Facebook also. Great pictures, I would say weekly. Sometimes you just got
to
post it.
I try to,
So, and pick up the edition on Wednesday also. Same deal for the Tuscola County Advertiser. Scotty, Mikey, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.